We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Command Center podcast, home of the biggest edge in Dynasty fantasy football. My name is Travis May, and I'm the Debbie coordinator at RotoViz, and I'm joined by Curtis Patrick, who is the Dynasty coordinator at RotoViz. And last few weeks, we've been talking about wide receiver quite a bit, but now it's time that we talk about some running backs, and not only just running backs in general, but running backs of the future. A couple weeks ago, I talked about some top college prospects at the wide receiver position who would be moving on into the NFL real soon. And now it's the running back's turn. Some players that a lot of listeners may already be familiar with because the 2020 NFL draft class of running backs seems to be absolutely stacked to the brim with talent. But before we dive in, Curtis, I'm super pumped about the 2020 class. Are you one that's really bought in, or are you a little bit hesitant to trust, you know, inflating any draft class?
Oh, man. Like, this is – we just do it every year. We get excited about the next year. I mean, we've been pointing to 2020 for a couple seasons, but I think that the Devy community is always pointing to, you know, a year or two out and being really excited. But I do think there's going to be a lot of immediate impact in next year's class because of the top-heavy nature at the running back position. And we've seen running back really take over in Dynasty over the last couple of years, and people being willing to be more heavily invested with their roster in the running back position, and maybe building through value wide receivers and spending those early draft picks or trading elite players for running backs. So good year to own picks four. But, you know, not everybody will necessarily declare. We're going to have some injuries that are going to thin the herd. It's just life. It's what happens. So we can be excited about all these guys, you know, but we're going to talk about five today. I would say history would dictate probably not all five will be available to us in rookie drafts next year. So that's the reality. You hate to say it, but that's the reality. So but in general, you got to love owning a lot of 2020 picks right now because the hype does feel very, very real.
Yeah, it does feel real right now. And every year we're hyping something. I mean, I felt like for forever we were hyping the 2019 running back class or wide receiver class, and the running backs we were fading. The running backs did turn out to be unimpressive, so we were kind of right about that. But the wide receivers didn't turn out to be the elite crop, I think, that a lot of us were hoping for in terms of, you know, absolute top-end draft capital and no questions anywhere in their profile. And there just turned out to be less of those and more questions than answers with those guys. So I'm hoping that there's less questions about the top running backs just because it's more fun to get absolutely pumped about a draft class as they come in. But since, you know, I did a few weeks back, I did, before we jump in here, I did want to kind of highlight one player that we're not going to spend a ton of time on. I started doing a Devy Player of the Week kind of highlight. And he is also a running back, but we won't spend too much time on him. But Chuba Hubbard for Oklahoma State is a guy that I think a lot more people need to have on the radar as a serious running back prospect for 2020 or perhaps 2021. You know, Justice Hill, we are going to probably talk about him here on an episode here soon. His former teammate actually is gone now, obviously, and is on the Ravens. So he's got a huge opportunity to be the feature back for Oklahoma State this year. And Hubbard is a guy, I mean, he had 16 yards per carry in high school. He's got legit track speed. He ran a 10.6 in the 100 meters. If you're familiar with track, that's really fast. Guys like, you know, that are trying to make for the Olympics or in high school in the 10 twos, threes, and fours. So he's really got some legit wheels. And so he's got plenty of opportunity. He's got plenty of speed. He's got adequate size, even more so than his former teammate in Justice Hill. So I'm excited to see what Hubbard does this year, but won't spend too much time on him. He's kind of outside the top five. He's probably top maybe 10 for some people, maybe 12 running backs for 2020 and beyond. But want to get to some other guys on this week's episode. But before we do, let's tell you know everyone where they can play some fantasy football.
All right, fam. It's been 10 years since our friends at the FFPC filled their first Dynasty League, and now they've grown to be the world's largest Dynasty League commissioners with leagues as high as $5,000 to enter. FFPC leagues are active and competitive, and not a single league has ever folded. Brand new startup Dynasty Leagues are forming right now, starting at $77 and up, and in standard, Superflex, and Best Ball formats. $77, $250, all the way up to $5,000. FFPC also has plenty of other great redraft formats, including best ball drafts, which are filling daily. And you can't forget about the main event. You want to win 500 grand? Come play against me and Sean Siegel. Try your hand there. Go to myffpc.com. That's myffpc.com, the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football. And just a reminder, all new subscribers to Dynasty Command Center, our Slack channel. Go to dynastycommandcenter.com to check that out. You get a $35 league credit just for signing up. You can use that on any Dynasty League fee, $77 or higher. Okay, Travis. Well, we want to get into our consensus top five Devy running backs. And we've got the same five guys, which is great. They're in slightly different order. But, you know, we still got another season worth of production to look at. We don't know the specific details of athletic measurables, certainly not any draft capital information yet. So the fact that we agree on the same five names, I think, is pretty great. What I want to do is throw these guys out to you. And if you can kind of just take the listeners through a general profile, you know, maybe what some of the pros and cons of each of these players are. And then I want to compare each player to Marlon Mack. The reason we're going to compare each player to Marlon Mack in terms of value, he's sitting at Dynasty running back 16 in FFPC ADP right now. And he kind of sits at a spot where he's the first valuable running back that doesn't have either, you know, super considerable NFL production to his name yet or high-end NFL draft pedigree. And so we're going to just say, hey, straight up, would you trade Marlon Mack for this Devy running back? And I think that, you know, that'll be that kind of value proposition there that'll make it an actionable episode for folks instead of just a research based. So let's start with Travis Etienne from Clemson. What do we need to know about this guy?
Well, I mean, a lot of people have heard the name Travis Etienne just because he plays for Clemson. And obviously when you play for Clemson these days, you get on national television quite a lot and you win a lot of important games and you make a lot of pivotal plays and pivotal moments. And so a lot of people are familiar with Etienne and how he has kind of progressed and really taken over the Clemson backfield in the past couple of years. I remember a couple of years ago, people were more excited about Tavian Feaster because he came out and was, you know, top end running back. He had basically, you know, no questions in his profile coming into college, and he looked like the real deal. But Travis Etienne just took the reins and said, "Sorry, I'm better, and I'm faster, and I'm more agile." And I've got better vision or whatever else you want to kind of add to it. But the one area where a lot of people are questioning, especially here recently with Travis Etienne, is his receiving ability. Because in today's NFL, you know, you have to catch the ball to stay on the field. I mean, we look at guys like Derrick Henry, who just doesn't never figure out how to catch the ball, and he can't be trusted to bring any real consistent receiving ability and or production. And that really needs to get cleaned up in his game if he's going to be successful at the next level, and if he's even going to see elite level draft capital at the next level. Because I think if you look at maybe an exception might be Leonard Fournette. I mean, he didn't have the crazy receiving chops that Saquon Barkley or a Christian McCaffrey did coming out of college. But more often than not, you want your feature back or your potential feature back to have that receiving ability. And when you look at his profile, he doesn't have a whole lot of receptions. And when he just came out recently in an interview, unwisely so, and said he kind of is almost like afraid of the ball or struggles to catch the ball. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was not a good look for a running back prospect who's trying to prove his worth in the NFL and to NFL scouts here in the near future. You know, he has like 300 plus carries over 2 years and 2,400 plus rushing yards, but then he only has 17 catches in 2 seasons. That's not exactly promising if you want somebody to come in and be an every down back. So that's the real concern with Travis Etienne. I'm not really concerned about much else. I think he's really proven himself as a runner. I think there's really not many questions there. He's not exactly a super thick back. I'm not really sure how much he weighs. I've seen his list weight kind of fluctuate depending on where you look. So he's not like a 220-pound back by any means. But coming out of high school, he actually did run about a 4.4 40. So if he holds on to some of that speed and checks some boxes at the combine next spring, I think a lot of people will, you know, their eyes will perk up and they might forget about the receiving deficiencies. And you know, he had a vertical, I think it was 37, 38 inches in high school, which for a running back is, I mean, that's already above average for an NFL wide receiver at the combine. So that's solid for running backs. But I don't think he's going to have any questions besides the receiving. Some people, though, lastly, do want to throw out narratives surrounding like his school. Well, he played for Clemson, but when's the last time Clemson had a back that was very good? And I actually have the answer. Obviously, recently we saw C.J. Spiller come out and have about 3, maybe 4 years of pretty solid relevance. But even beyond that, we had Andre Ellington come out and actually have a couple years of relevance. And way back in the day, you got to go back to like the 90s and early 2000s. But Terry Allen played with three teams, I believe, kind of finished up his career with the Redskins. So there's 3 running backs that have come out of Clemson that have had relative success and some draft capital in the NFL. But there's just not anytime you're trying to talk about the narrative surrounding like a school, there's just not many, like even the top end schools only have a handful of guys that succeed in the pros. So that's kind of an empty narrative. And I'm actually going to be doing a series on some narratives surrounding schools and some production from different schools and NFLU and that type of debate here soon, but won't spend all the time on that. But Etienne is super intriguing outside of his receiving ability. So how much does that worry you, Curtis, if you're looking at a guy who only has 17 catches to his name?
At this point, it still doesn't worry me. If he grades out well enough as a runner, the amount of film he has against other top schools, putting up a career 7.8 yards per carry in the Power 5. I mean, we all gushed over Darrell Henderson having those types of numbers in his career out of Memphis. Well, now we're talking about Clemson now. So I think he has enough there to still be an early draft pick, more of a top 2 round guy, even if people view the receiving as a wart. I don't think he's going to slide into the 3rd round because of what he can do athletically as well. And I mean, we've seen backs who didn't have large receiving market share in college go on to actually round that out in their game or disprove narratives. We had a lot of these same concerns about Melvin Gordon. Yeah. When he came out. And, one of the things around that maybe would differ a little bit is Wisconsin just doesn't typically throw to their primary back. But he really improved over the course of the first 3 years, his first 3 years in the NFL in that category, to where now, you know, most people would look at him as a plus receiver, and certainly for fantasy purposes. So it's not something that can't be fixed. He just has to show requisite receiving ability. And if teams don't have problems with his pass blocking, he really only needs to be an average receiver to get the third down work. Not everyone is going to be David Johnson and be able to run routes from different places on the field. That's just not going to happen. I mean, so, you know, really, I would almost look more to his pass blocking grade. And if it's there, I think teams will invest in making sure that, you know, he can catch the ball, even if he's just going to be a check down or swing pass back. So let's do the value equation here. Would you trade Marlon Mack for ETN in a Devy league?
I most certainly would. And to somebody that doesn't play in a Devy league where you can have college players on your roster, that may seem kind of crazy, but I think it's almost implied at this point that Travis ETN is like a first round talent, at least a top 50 pick type talent. So he's going to be, you know, getting all the draft capital. He's going to be getting all the hype next year. He's going to be an early first round pick. So would you rather have a, you know, a super hyped up top 5 2020 pick almost locked in with Travis Etienne, or would you prefer Marlon Mack, who, it, you know, he's produced, and but there are questions. So I think for me, it's still Etienne. Are you there with the Etienne just yet?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Mack, I think Mack has some of the same questions about his receiving ability that we're talking about ETN. And he also has Nyheim Hines and Paris Campbell competing for the same types of touches that we would want for most running backs. So, yeah, hands down, I would make this trade. Let's move on to DeAndre Swift.
Sure.
Georgia Bulldogs definitely have a strong track. You want to talk about track record putting backs in the NFL? Yeah. they're on a pretty nice hot streak right now. So give us a minute or two on Swift here.
Sure. So Swift didn't have he may not have the same speed as Etienne, but he's got more prototypical size. And I think when you talk to a bunch of film-based analysts, you're going to get a lot more fans of Swift because, I mean, he does have all the contact balance. He does all the right things inside in between the tackles. And I think a lot of people want to knock him, though, because he just split time with Elijah Holyfield at Georgia this past year, and Holyfield is now an undrafted free agent. But really, that's just and people shouldn't worry about that. That's just how Georgia has run their offense recently. It's been two backs. They really kind of go with, I mean, like with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, even that year where they had DeAndre Swift and Sony Michel and Chubb, they actually really used three backs. Like, Swift's first year, even when Michelle and Chubb were there, he had just shy of 100 touches still. In fact, he opened it up, and he has a receiving ability. As a true freshman, he actually had 17 catches, even though he was the running back 3 for Georgia. So I think he's got an incredibly balanced skill set. He's got the NFL build you want to see. I'm curious about what his long speed is, because he actually abstained from doing those type of drills in high school. Had agility out the wazoo as an incoming prospect, and obviously he's a top rated prospect for a long time, but he's somebody that is almost a sure lock for top 40 capital as well. And Georgia, I mean, you've got Knowshon Moreno, Isaiah Crowell, Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb. Like, you have a ton of guys that have come out of Georgia and had recent success since 2008. So, and there's not really the concern there. But I think also when it comes to Marlon Mack, I think I definitively and confidently, because I actually have Swift over ETN right now, I would actually take Swift easily over Mack. And I think I would probably take him over somebody even further up the line in the ranks. And which, again, might sound crazy, but I'm pretty confident with Swift and his ability to find success. Is he your running back 1 right now?
I've kind of just got a top tier. I really haven't settled on who my 1 is. I've got a 1 next to ETN's name, but I've kind of got a tier of 3 guys, one of them we haven't talked about yet, that I really haven't settled out. Honestly, I'm just waiting to see kind of what happens in the 2019 college football season. Kind of just talking through this and seeing what each of these players did as 18-year-old true freshmen. if you want to give the lean to the guy that's demonstrated the receiving ability, considering almost everything else is equal, I have no problem with that. You know, running the ball, each of these guys really efficient on a per touch basis, and you got to give the nod slightly to Swift on level of competition in the SEC. So, you know, I might have to jockey around with that a little bit, but I'm really viewing, and in general, I really do truly view Debbie as much more of a tier-based value system than rankings. Things can change and
quickly.
You know, and we're never going to have all the information on these guys till they're actually have been drafted and have gone through the combine process even. So I like to throw darts in tiers rather than be too overly obsessed with the number about a specific rank. But I'm right there with you. Hands down would trade Marlon Mack for DeAndre Swift. So we've got three more guys to cover. But
yes,
we do want to remind the team here about Yahoo Fantasy. And Yahoo Fantasy has introduced a new game called Best Ball that lets you get in the action now. With Best Ball, you draft your fantasy football team, and that's it. You don't have to do anything else after the draft. Each week, your top scoring players at each position on your roster will automatically count towards your weekly score. Forget about the extra weekly time commitment. There's no waiver wire, no trades, no adding or dropping players, and no having to make those tough start or sit decisions. Focus on the best part of fantasy football, the draft. Tired of doing mock drafts for your fantasy team and having other players drop out early or not finish the draft? Free best ball leagues give you the most accurate ADP. Can't get enough fantasy football but don't want to manage those teams all season? You can draft up to 50 best ball teams. Play for free or play for cash. But most importantly, get to drafting with fantasy football. Join a league today at sports.yahoo.com/bestball. Coming soon to the fantasy app on Yahoo. All right, Cam Akers. Cam Akers is a guy that's, you know, he was really hyped coming out of high school, Florida State. Some questions about his per-touch efficiency, but I think you could probably explain a little bit of that for us. So what do we need to know about Akers?
Well, first off, Akers, I mean, he was an interesting prospect. He was basically like almost 99th percentile spark score coming out of high school. He was almost like a wildcat quarterback more than he was a standard running back at times when he came out. A lot of people had him pegged as the number one running back prospect in the country. He was up there with Najee Harris from Alabama. Harris has kind of faded in the ranks just a little bit, but Cam Akers has a balanced skill set. He does catch the ball. He does run well inside the tackles when he's not scared of his offensive line making a horrible mistake. And that's really the issue. It's Florida State has really held him back. In 2017, he had over 1,000 yards. Even when Florida State just didn't have a quarterback figured out and things were, it was just kind of a mess. Last year, it even got slightly worse for Cam Akers and that offense. And there, he's got some bad reps on tape. Just kind of hesitating, jumping around, hiding, but it's not his fault. I think the offensive line for Florida State is probably bottom 10 in all of FBS. It's like they're having to start over from scratch, and it's really rough, and there's no hope on the horizon. So he's not going to get any help going into the most important year of his college career. And so I'm not super concerned if he comes out and barely averages 5 yards per carry in college and, you know, doesn't even get 1,000 yards rushing, but does get some catches again. Because I think we all know what Cam Akers is skill-wise. And athletically, he's probably going to come out and have the most impressive combine next spring, except, well, J.K. Dobbins. Well, yeah, J.K. Dobbins might come out and have a better one. But those two will be the most elite athletes at the position, probably, from a balance standpoint. Because he ran a 4.4, maybe a little bit faster in high school, had a vertical over 40 inches. Like, the dude's an absolute monster. So I'm not worried about him. He's still very much so in the running back one conversation for next year. Is he there for you?
I don't have him in that tier. I have him in a second tier. But I mean, production does matter. Production does matter, but it's not something that would steer me away from Akers. I have 2 Debbie shares of Akers. What he did, you know, over 1,000 yards rushing is a true freshman. He's shown decent receiving ability. So, you know, I just think he's a guy that I don't know that he's really in the picture as a potential first round NFL pick unless he can do a little bit put some more impressive film up. You know, I think, you know, you look at like what David Montgomery did, not having a good line.
Yeah.
And having to create in space, make his own space, essentially, because his team didn't give him anything. That's kind of how I view what's happened to Akers. The difference is, you know, he came into college football with much more of a pedigree and an awareness of his ability than David Montgomery. So, you know, we see Montgomery go in the third round in a trade-up situation. And I could see Akers being a guy that maybe slides into the top 50, you know, first half of the second round, and a team that really has trusted their grades on him since his freshman year. But maybe, you know, he's just not going to have those Heisman Trophy type numbers that we like to see from our running backs. So
yeah.
I think, you know, when we talk about Marlon Mack and Akers, to me, that's kind of a toss up right now. I think it would almost be team situation based because I just don't know how much value Akers will have on day one. I think his range of outcomes at the draft is still a little wider. So if I'm competing, I think I can win that title this year. I think I might hold Mack, especially if he's like my running back too. But if I'm not in a clear title situation this year, I would be willing to make the deal for Akers. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's right about where I am. I think if I'm competing and I could win a ship, I'm not going to move off of my potential running back too. I mean, maybe what you paid for him, now he's your running back three, but that's still a pretty pivotal piece to winning now. And so, I mean, that I think that's the name of the game. We play to win the game. But obviously, Cam Akers is right there. But he's the first one in this conversation that I'm a little bit, you know, hesitant. Etienne and Swift, I definitely would take. But Akers is kind of borderline. But I think just from where I think their careers will go future, I would project more success for Akers long term. So that's kind of where I am with him. But he's not going to have a perfect production profile. But I think he's a lock most likely to be at least a round two back next year. So I think that's in the cards for him.
Okay. Well, if you want to talk impressive production profiles, I'm going to give you Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor, man. He could have three consecutive 2,000 rushing yard seasons. He actually has a chance to break Donnell Pumphrey's college football rushing record of 6,400 yards. He could actually do it in three seasons instead of four. I mean, this is insane what he has done. So, you know, if maybe some potential knocks, you know, 300-ish carries 2 years in a row. You don't love to see that. Yeah. And then we kind of also have that Wisconsin running back situation where, you know, they just don't really throw. He's only got 16 receptions over his first two seasons. But again, we already mentioned a former Badger and Melvin Gordon, who, you know, totally has gone out and proved that he was able to develop in that area. So give me a little more on Jonathan Taylor.
So I love Jonathan Taylor as a prospect, even coming out of high school, just because of he looked like a physical beast, and his teammates agreed. I remember making like a do these touchdown time with Travis videos before his freshman season started. I was talking about how recently in practices his teammates had given him the name Beast Mode before he even played a down in college. Like there were before his freshman season, there were like three running backs that were competing for the starting role, but really it was they were just kind of trying not to disrespect the upperclassmen, because Jonathan Taylor was the best back, and he showed that immediately. Came down and put up 1,977 rushing yards in his first season. Over 2,000 yards from scrimmage, though. I think it was 2,000, almost 2,100 yards from scrimmage. And then he did it again last year. So what he's done immediately, just hitting the ground running and just destroying people. and teams know it's coming, too. Like you said, Wisconsin runs the ball. They don't even have a quarterback, basically. And yet he's just like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to average 6.9 yards per carry anyway, and, you know, get about 30 rushing touchdowns in your face anyway. And so, yeah, I'm not really concerned with Jonathan Taylor. I think maybe his elite level agility won't be there. He's somebody that I think next spring will abstain from the agility drills, but he'll do the burst score stuff like vertical and broad and the 40, because I think he's actually get faster than a lot of people think. He actually ran a 4.42 coming out of high school. So he's right on par with the Swifts, the ETNs in terms of, not in Swift, but ETN and like Akers when it comes to just straight line speed, I think. So a lot to like with Jonathan Taylor.
Well, Jonathan Taylor is the other guy that I mentioned that's in kind of that top tier for me with Swift and ETN. So I would absolutely trade Mac for Taylor, probably regardless of team situation. I would be willing to try to piece together production from waiver wire or from subsequent trades in order to get Jonathan Taylor on my Devi taxi squad. So I'm going to assume you're in the same boat based off of how you just talked him up. But that's really going to be fun to watch, that record situation. And he actually could become the all-time Wisconsin leading rusher for regular season. Ron Dane had almost 7,200 yards, including bowl games, in his career. But 63.97, that's within striking distance. Basically, Taylor needs to do what he did last year, and he'll be right around that number. So really going to be a fun player to watch this fall. The last guy is a guy that's a little bit of a late riser, didn't have the same high school career of these other guys, even of Taylor maybe, but man, in 2018, he burst onto the scene. Eno Benjamin, give me the lowdown, Travis.
Yeah, Eno Benjamin, thank you, Herm Edwards, for moving away from the running back by committee for Arizona State. Because, I mean, Kalen Ballage had to split carries with a guy who never made it on an NFL roster the year before. And Eno Benjamin, I was kind of concerned that, I mean, I loved him as a prospect. He was a four-star running back, but I was kind of concerned he was going to get uselessly committed with someone else last year. In college fantasy football leagues, people were picking him high anyway, and that was the right call because he had like 1,600 rushing yards, 35 receptions, 18 total touchdowns last year, and just absolutely exploded. I think he would have done something similar even as a freshman had he been given the opportunity, but he actually kind of got hurt. I think it was the Army game or something like that to end his high school career. But once he had the opportunity, he answered the call. I don't think he has anywhere near the same long speed as the other guys in this conversation, but I think he's shown that he has the agility and the decision making to get downhill quickly. And obviously he's a little bit undersized compared to a couple of these other guys, but I think if he has just a few pounds and shows up to the combine and does okay, I think he's a lock for a day two pick as well. I think he could be an early day two pick myself.
Yeah, and I think another recent prospect who had some of maybe the same concerns, not a super huge back, maybe not the best long speed, but very agile plus receiver, you know, Dalvin Cook. We already talked about other Florida State backs, but that, not that it's a one-for-one comp, but I think that type of player can still find his way to draft pedigree and be effective in the NFL. You don't, you know, not everyone is going to run a 4.440. And at the running back position, we're not even, you know, without the weight going hand in hand with it, running a 4.4 isn't necessarily predictive of being a great back. Yeah. I think, you know, agility and vision. And yeah. We love it. But, you know, there's so much technical ability that comes into play to have that success in the NFL. And Benjamin, you know, might fit that bill. So Benjamin is another, man, I think I would keep Marlon Mack versus trading for Benjamin right now. And it's, I still just think there's a wideness to the range of outcomes of where he could be drafted. And can he do the same thing 2 years in a row? I mean, Herm Edwards is basically a dinosaur in terms of coaching. And so I'm guessing he'll still lean heavily on his running back one. But, you know, I would like to see it. And then the Pac-12, you know, running backs from that conference, I think, is a very mixed bag too. And so that, you know, just compared to some of the other guys we talked about, I mean, Big Ten, ACC, SEC, you know, unfortunately, Benjamin has a little bit easier path here. And without the per touch efficiency, I mean, 5.5 yards a carry is okay. You know, it's not, you know, it really not anything great over five for college. Five is really kind of the low bar for college, but really like to see six, even with the large volume that he had, 300 carries, you like to see six. And I mean, just case in point, against a tougher Big Ten, Jonathan Taylor, 7.1 per carry on a 300 plus rushing attempt sample. So would like to see some of that improvement from Benjamin, but plenty to like here, just not quite at that, you know, mid RB2 dynasty value for me quite yet. Would you trade Marlon Mack for Eno Benjamin?
No, I think that is a line where I would draw. I think if you're talking about four running backs going ahead of somebody like Mac, or three running backs going ahead of somebody like Mac, you're talking about next year having four, maybe five running backs in next year's class being top 40 picks in startup drafts, which is pretty aggressive to assume a year ahead of time. But I think Eno Benjamin's that guy that I don't think there's any way he's a round one prospect. And so if he's a day two guy, you know, maybe in the pick 60-ish range, something like that, I'm still super excited, but not going to move somebody like Mac in that range just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're in lockstep there, man. We hope that, you know, this overview of the top five gets your appetite whetted for college football in 2019. And, it, you know, if you're not playing Devy yet, man, just jump in a startup. You're going to have so much fun. It just adds that element of dynasty roster management that you can't quite get in a traditional format. And it always keeps things interesting. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe you're playing and you feel like a certain league or a team has gotten stale. When you throw the college prospects into the equation, trades can get so much more creative. There's just that many more games that you want to watch. It makes Saturdays so much more fun. So really would encourage the listeners to explore Devy if you haven't. And Travis and I and the you know, Dynasty Command handle on Twitter, you can at any of those with questions around Devy. And if you're looking for help, you know, in that Devy startup, don't forget about the DynastyCommandCenter.com Slack. We've got a dedicated Devy channel that Travis heads up, and you know, you can also get some advice from me or Ryan McDowell or Scott Connor, some other well-versed Devy players in that channel. So, Travis, let's bring it home, man.
Yeah, man. And as always, just really enjoy you all joining us, and love all the feedback that we're getting on this podcast. And feel free to shoot questions, because we want to get those answers on the show or in our Slack at any time. But you can find Curtis on Twitter at CPatrickNFL. I'm Travis May at FF_TravisM. And thanks again for joining us for another Dynasty Command Center podcast. But until next time, keep living that dynasty life.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.